Daily Wrap with Michael Kastner, where uncommon thinkers gather in a common space.
This is the Daily Wrap. Michael Kastner with you. Campaigns are preparing for post-election court fights on voting laws. That's the headline. Joining us now, Rick Hassin, Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at UC Irvine School of Law and creator of electionlawblog.org. Explain what's going on this election season.
Well, what's going on is kind of a repeat of what we've seen in 2004 and 2008, which is that the parties are fighting it out not only at campaign rallies and on television and radio, but they're also fighting in court and looking to secure whatever advantage they can. And so the campaigns or their surrogates are trying to gain advantage through lawsuits over things like extending early voting or determining ballot access, whether third-party candidates are going to appear on the ballot or not. And all of these lawsuits are being done in advance of the election with an eye towards the possibility of continuing these lawsuits in the event that we have another close election for president like we had in 2000 or that we might have with a Senator-House race, which is also potentially likely to lead to at least one or two close races.
Now, we have seen some challenges to voter ID laws and the early voting, et cetera, that you've mentioned as well. Are those going to be determined before the election, or could some of this still be in place during the election?
Well, some of these lawsuits will hopefully be finished before the election.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some suits that are still pending after the election. The nightmare scenario involves the state of Ohio, which has a very big dispute about provisional ballots. These are ballots that voters cast when they show up at the polls and there's some kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not show up on the rolls, for example. And there's a big lawsuit now on its way through the appellate courts over whether if a voter casts a ballot in the wrong precinct, might even be just the wrong table in a gymnasium, and it's because of a poll worker error, whether the Constitution of the United States, its Equal Protection Clause, requires that that vote be counted. A federal district court judge said yes. The Ohio Supreme Court said no. The case is now before the Sixth Circuit. We might not get finality before the election, and that would be a very bad situation if the race came down to Ohio on Election Day.
We're talking with Rick Hassin, Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at UC Irvine School of Law. So what are we seeing the campaigns doing? I mean, do they have legal teams hired? Are they flying them in? Because remember in 2000, everybody hopped on planes. The Bush guys hopped on planes from Texas down to Florida. What are they doing?
Well, first of all, both campaigns have extensive legal teams in place, and they have contacts at law firms in the various states. And both campaigns are actively monitoring litigation, sometimes litigating themselves. So in the case involving Ohio's change to early voting, Ohio, the Republican legislature in Ohio cut back on 3 days of early voting. The Obama campaign itself filed a lawsuit in federal court and got a federal district judge to agree that those 3 days before the election of early voting need to be put back in place, and that's also before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals out of Cincinnati. Some of these cases, the Romney campaign could get involved in a challenge to Virgil Good, who's on the ballot in Virginia, where he could get some votes, which could take votes away from Romney and help give an edge to Obama. So he's considering further legal action to try and keep Good off the ballot. And so we see this. They've got the people in place, and they've got more people on standby should they be needed.
Rick Hassin, Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at UC Irvine School of Law and creator of electionlawblog.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Working Mother magazine has come up with their 2012 list of the 100 best companies named for leadership on creating family-friendly policy and culture. Joining us right now is Jennifer Owens, editorial director of Working Mother Media. What makes a good company that's as far as being family friendly?
You know, I think one of the things that these companies do, because I've been watching them now for 5 years, is that they continuously ask themselves what they should be doing for their workforce. They're constantly searching. So it's amazing to sit in some of their HR offices and have them say, well, what's the new thing? What's the next thing? So as they keep things like childcare and mentoring and flexibility, they're also trying to figure out where the stresses and concerns are going to be next.
Your top 10 companies are Bank of America, Deloitte, Ernst & Young, General Mills, Grant Thornton, IBM, KPMG, Procter & Gamble, PwC, and Wellstar. What made these guys stand out from everybody else?
That they do well across all 550 questions. It's almost that competitive, that you have to be a leader in every cluster of our applications. So childcare, flexibility, training managers on flexibility, and then holding them accountable through their performance reviews and compensation for how they're dealing with flexibility and work-life concerns. They have to be advancing women. There has to be women all across their pipeline at the very top and all the way down as they're recruiting in. Their attrition rates need to be low. There needs to be a commitment to health and wellness, which is a focus that we gave the 100 best this year.
Jennifer Owens, editorial director of Working Mother Media. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The U.S. Justice Department's Inspector General has put out a 471-page report on Operation Fast and Furious. It allowed about 2,000 potentially illegal firearms to cross the border into Mexico. And it doesn't look good for some people. They referred to 14 employees, including senior official Lanny Brewer, for possible internal discipline in connection with the botched gun probe in Arizona. Another official, Kenneth Melson, is going to be retiring from the Justice Department, according to a spokesperson there. And then one of Brewer's aides, Jason Weinstein, whom the report also refers to for possible disciplinary action, has resigned from the department. Fast and Furious, we all heard about it because of the December 2010 shooting death of a U.S. Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry. Two guns that firearms agents attempted to track were found at the scene of Terry's death in rural Arizona. At 35 after the hour, we'll check out the most popular political viral videos of all time. And no, Mitt is not at the top of the list. That and more ahead on The Daily Wrap from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Michael Kastner.